The first step was biological warfare. And China sacrificed Wuhan. They made sure the city was locked down. But they made sure the virus made it to the USA. The second step was economic warfare. Every business had to be shut down. Wreck Trump's economy and make everyone poor. Sow seeds of frustration, make the American people desperate. The third step was psychological warfare. Stay at home, afraid to even breathe. Exacerbate depression, leverage anxiety. Make the population unequivocally crazy. The fourth step was divide and conquer. The deep state learned this trick from the Brits. Everyone fighting each other, and they can't very well fight us. And now here we are at step five. The second wave is upon us. And if you open up your business, you're a reckless part of the problem. If you go out to protest, you're a hero. Spikes in Houston, Dallas, and San Antonio. Business is bad. Mail-in ballots are good. Where are the spikes in Seattle, Minneapolis, and D.C.? I haven't heard a thing about them on the news. The global deep state controls all the news. But in America, it's the worst. 99% of the media attacking Trump for four straight years. Something tells me John Brennan is part of the Corona riots. Mattis, Kelly, Powell, Esper, and Milley. Strategic signaling against the commander-in-chief. What are the odds that washed-up neocons John Bolton and Dick Cheney make the news the very same week? Trump is a threat to the existing world order. A world order that's thoroughly corrupt. The Corona riots are a sophisticated fast coup attempt. Digital soldiers take the oath. It's our job to support and defend the Constitution of the USA. Against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Means at the ready. Battle space. We are ready to unleash hell. Hell will prevail with God's grace.
This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City, and Rockland County at 91.9 FM, online at WFMU.org. Are you ready, Courtney?
Yes, I'm ready.
We got a few more seconds left, and then it's time.
I'm not playing any of that 45 RPM crap, but just
don't get too excited now. We don't want you to have an emergency like you did last time.
I have to make a big deal about it. Go ahead.
The piece I'm about to play is called Pagodas by Debussy. Thank you.
There's still no pencil sharpener in here. Oh, yes, the music ended, sorry. This is Courtney. You're at your WFMU this week. That was Hada Brooks and Boogie Celeste. Before that, opened up the program with the classy music there, Percy Grainger, doing Pagodas, adapted from a work by Debussy. So, last week, if you were listening to the program, I wasn't here. The program was hosted by Gus Bodenheim. Well, we hear that he did a fairly undistinguished job. Undistinguished, that's for Gus, that's what they call on brand. The Bodenheim brand. There's a word for people like Gus when they provide temporary short-term services as a substitute. That word is placeholder. It's basically a guy sitting in a chair until the real guy comes back. And I'm back. Frisky as ever. Now, you probably wondered where I was. You've probably been wondered all week. Where was Courtney last week? Well, I was off delivering the keynote speech at the annual convention of the committee to declare surface noise, the national anthem. This is the 10th annual meeting of the CDSNNA. Yeah, the CDSNNA. Sorry, it's got CD in there. That's wrong. Anyway, it's still not a done deal. Now, we were optimistic last year when the guy who was elected president of the U.S., we learned that he's older than anyone on the committee. Much older. He's older than me, in fact. But the problem is that the new president's hearing is so bad that he can't appreciate the sublime frequencies that constitute the 78 RPM surface noise spectrum. So, we're taking up a collection, we on the committee, a collection to buy the president an ear trumpet. These used to be very popular for the hard of hearing. They should bring them back. For some of us, they never went out of style. Now look, I also want to point out that there's a comments forum on the internet for this show. Lolabelle Pancake, she's my assistant, she's the comments forum moderator. I don't have anything to do that don't look at the internet. Anyway, Gus told me that he wanted to participate in the commenting activity during the program last week, but he could not because he was too busy programming the music and trying to think of clever things to say during the mic breaks between the sets of music. Gus said later that he read the comments on the forum the following morning. He said that the favorable comments, the ones that were said good things about him, they said they made him blush. And then he shrugged and he said that the facial redness could just be a side effect of the new high-dose tablets he recently started taking for erectile dysfunction or something. Anyway, we also got a lot of letters in the mail. The kind of letters in an envelope with a stamp on it. We got a lot of mail. A lot of letters for Gus after last week's hosting of the program. Well, we opened them just in case any contained checks or paper currency. We didn't read any. We didn't read it. That would be unethical. Anyway, we stuffed all these letters in a mail pouch, and we sent them on to Gus. Now, Gus asked if we would allow him a little bit of airtime to respond to some of these thoughtful missives that he received from the listeners. So I said, sure. So anyway, this is a recording of Gus answering some of your kind letters.
Hello, this is Gus Bodenheim, fresh from my triumphant turn as guest host of the Carja's program. While this is being pre-recorded, and I've yet to hear Courtney's own reaction to my effort, I'm confident that he'll lavish me with the kind of praise modesty forbids me from calling richly deserved. But I have heard from you, the listener, and let me tell you, my old mail sack is bulging. As stamps cost money, I've elected to answer some of your letters right here. First, with regard to several queries pertaining to Del Barton's Barnyard Beast and Pet Products division, yes, we are announcing a recall of our product 114J7, the Del Barton Dog Whistle. We trust that users complaining they can clearly hear the whistle will eventually receive the mute attachment, pending supply chain disruptions beyond our control, and clearly your fault. But we are still contending with complaints that the whistle is being misunderstood by some furry companions. We're working on this problem and hope to achieve greater canine clarity. But be advised that certain breeds, such as the French Bulldog and the Boston variant, are simply too stupid to understand even the most basic innuendo. And we invite you to swap them out for a real dog, or simply return your product for a reasonably complete refund, minus charges. Now on to a more personal message I've received from listener Monique. Without spelling it out, let me just say, no, I never have done that, but yes, it is something I'd consider. And I do thank you and look forward to further discussion. Finally, one Noam Hopkins asks about my role in the ongoing diversity overhaul at Delbarton Industries. As has been widely reported, the company has submitted to a thorough intersectionality inspection initiative, or introspectionative, to use the argot, and the company has been found wanting. But as they busily revise corporate racism guidelines, it must be noted that I am an independent contractor responsible for only my own racism. With this in mind, I have secured at my own tax-deductible expense an unconscious bias consultant to look under the hood, so to speak. They, them, has been at this problem hammer and tongs, and let me tell you what we've discovered so far is egregious. I am apparently riddled with prejudices so arcane and weirdly specific that I can scarcely believe they've escaped my notice thus far. Boy, is my face red. Evidently, my head is teeming with ugly tropes, dangerous misinformation, and bald-faced malaprops of extrusionary viscosity. The good news is we're reviewing a whole range of options to mitigate these issues. I hope this little sit-down has satisfied some of your curiosity. Keep those cards and letters coming. Thank you.
6 o'clock already?
Yeah, man.
Coco,
Dublin, fair city, where girls are so pretty. That's where he first met her, sweet Molly Malone. She wheeled a wheelbarrow through streets wide and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. She was a fishmonger, and sure it's no wonder, for her father and mother were fishmongers too. They wheeled a wheelbarrow through streets wide and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. He asked her to marry, she said 'twould be grand, but to leave her dear Dublin, she'd not give her hand. So they both wheel a barrel through streets wide and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. This is a story very old of a girl who was his all alone. She was the one he would not forget, and her name was sweet Molly, sweet Molly Malone. He asked her to marry, she said 'twould be grand, but to leave her dear Dublin, she'd not give her hand. So they both wheel a barrel through streets wide and narrow, crying and muscles, alive, alive.
Yes, that was Maxine Sullivan. Yes, it's Maxine Sullivan. Yes, of course. Doing Molly Malone here on the Old Codger Show. Now, this is before that was the Mears Brothers doing an a cappella, the harmony version of the Bugle Call Rag. Sammy Price gave us Just Jiving Around. I'm reading the playlist backwards, okay, for those of you a little disoriented in the sequence that I'm reading this. Blind Willie Dunn and Lonnie Johnson. Eddie Lang was in there. Deep minor rhythm. Gus Bodenheim with the mailbag at the top of the set there on the Old Codger Show here at WFMU, here every Tuesday from 7 to 8 o'clock p.m. Now, last week, again, Gus Bodenheim was the host. Yes, a lot of you are disappointed that he's not here this week. That's me. Anyway, Lola Bear disclosed to me that last week, when Gus Bodenheim was serving as the placeholder programmer, she said it, Gus. Gus. Oh, that Gus. He played a recording by Annette Hanshaw. That's right. Gus breached the long-running, seemingly impenetrable Hanshaw barrier on this program. Ordinarily, that would be a firing offense. But since we need Gus's proven abilities as a commercial announcer, we're going to extend leniency for this infraction. Now, I also hear that Gus went on and on and on last week about his so-called rage blackouts. He says he commits these vengeful acts, these hateful acts, and then he claims he doesn't remember what he did because of these rage blackouts. Well, when it comes to Gus and his often vile behavior, I have empathy blackouts. Now, also, Lola Bear also reported to me, you know, she's tasked with making sure everything goes right during the program when I'm not here. Lola Bear reported that Gus, while he was hosting the program, he became increasingly plushed to the scuppers, that he was audibly imbibing while the microphone was live. Well, it appears I'm setting an excellent example for Gus. This is the sort of professionalism we encourage here at the Old Codger Radio Show. More WFMU disc jockeys should consider our approach. meaning they should broadcast drunk. It couldn't hurt. You know, we once left a bottle of Sly Weasel bourbon that was still about one quarter full. We left it here in the main studio after our program. We took a pencil and we marked the level of the remaining contents of the bottle. We were testing the staff. Well, we returned to the studio the following week, and the bottle was right where we left it. And the contents were still at the same level. This means one of two things. Either the staff here at WFMU, they refuse to ingest adult beverages during their shows, or they bring their own. Or it could mean they don't appreciate the top-shelf stuff. Hippies tend to like cheap booze, the kind they could guzzle. Sly Weasel bourbon would be wasted on these arrested adolescents. By the way, Sly Weasel bourbon is a proud sponsor of the Old Codger Radio program. Well, let's get back to the music.
Myself and I singing Annie Laurie. This cat come up to me, said, "May I join you three?" I says to me, "Hey, what's his story?" There was I talking to myself, I feeling hunky-dory. A pretty girl passed by, I tried to catch her eye. She seemed to sigh, "Hey, what's his story?" Well, there must be a better way to pass the time besides singing such a silly song. It don't make any sense. Got no reason or rhyme, but I keep singing it the whole day long. Rip, take a tip from a guy that's hip to women, fame, and glory. Like when you're in demand, she wants to hold your hand. But when you beat, it's what's his story? They say they heard an awful yelp. Help! What's his story? There's a cop looking in a shop, taking inventory. Stick-up guy passed by, says, put your hands up high. And the cop says, why, what's his story? Well, there must be a better way to pass the time besides singing such a silly song. Don't make any sense. Got no reason or rhyme, but I keep singing it the whole day long. At the gate stands a sinner fool shouting, loady, loady. St. Peter said, you square your places way down by the square. Says, hey, what's his story? I'm hip, that cat must have had one of them wild, frantic stories, man.
I've said goodbye to Mr. Sorrow, and I said, how do you do, Mr. Joy? You know, really, there's no need to worry about tomorrow. Look at me, and you'll see a soul as happy as can be. Because I'm looking at the world through rose-colored glasses. Everything is rosy now. Looking at the world and everything that passes seems of rosy hue somehow. Why do I feel so spry? Oh, don't wink your eye. You needn't guess, 'cause I'll confess. Someone made me answer yes. In a bungalow all covered with roses, we'll settle down, I vow. That's why I'm looking at the world through rose-colored glasses, and everything is rosy now. Others may cry, but I'll be smiling, 'cause there's really no use to worry or fret. While for them, troubles may be piling, here is one who'll have fun, 'cause after all is said and done. Why not keep looking at the world through rose-colored glasses and see how rosy things can be? You know, when I look at the world, why, everything that passes seems of a rosy hue to me. Why do you look so blue? Cheer up, don't sigh. Why, you can be as glad as me if you'll only smile and try. Put away your care, say goodbye to old sorrow, and let let your sadness turn to glee. For when you're looking at the world through rose-colored glasses, you'll see how rosy things can be.
That was the lovely dulcet tones of Vaughn DeLeith here on your Casual Radio Show on WFMU. The song was called Looking at the World Through Rose-Colored Glasses. Before that was Harry the Hipster Gibson doing a song called What's His Story? And Cyril Scott on the piano with Rainbow Trout. Now, I have some possible news. I say possible because we're not sure yet. We haven't confirmed it. But we are expecting Edna St. Vincent Bodenheim to regale us with her poetry on an upcoming program. Perhaps. See, last week, her cousin, Elizabeth Barrett Bodenheim, as we call her EBB, she's acting as a go-between, EBB reached out to Lolabelle Pancake, my assistant, and asked on Edna St. Vincent Bodenheim's behalf. She says, Edna would like to help elevate the literary standards of the Old Codger Radio Show with readings of her original poetry. Now, generally, we would be very receptive to such a gracious offer. We love poetry. Some of it, anyway. And Edna did not ask to be paid. Even better. However, we learned that Edna St. Vincent Bodenheim was born in Australia, and she still lives in Australia. Well, like most of you listeners, I don't speak Australian, so I'm not sure I'd understand a word of her poetry. I told Lolabelle to pass my concerns along to EBB, and we are awaiting EBB's response on behalf of her sister. When it is received, well, you won't be the first to know, but you won't be the last. Maybe the 15th or the 20th. Does it make any difference? Take a number and get in line. We'll call you when it's your turn. Now, this is like a complete break from what I was just talking about. No more Bodenheims. Well, maybe a few. But anyway, it's time for us to broadcast the soundtrack this week. Soundtrack of a major motion picture. I know you look forward to this, so many of you. We have the soundtrack this week of the major motion picture starring the great Jewish actress, Betty Boop. This is called Baby Be Good. It's from 1935. Now this one, I just want to warn you, this one is pretty scary if you are a young serial miscreant. It's all about punishment and retribution and terrorism. So if you're inclined to misbehave, you need to pay attention to the soundtrack of this major motion picture. Now, there's guest appearances, cameos, bit parts, people walking into the frame of the camera from this major motion picture. See, Chi-Chi Cabron. Then there's a couple of, I said there'd be no Bodenheims. There's a few Bodenheims in this major motion picture. There are a couple of marginal members of the Bodenheim brood who aspired, they aspired to become failed actors. And they succeeded. There was Alexander Graham Bodenheim, and then there was Lee Harvey Bodenheim. Then also in this major motion picture, Derek Bullimore. Then Dr. Raoul Mengele. Then there's someone by the name of Anxiety Spellman. Then this is a strange name, but it's true. It was Hoagy Carmichael. The name and the nickname were the same. Just don't leave out the quote marks around Hoagy Carmichael in the middle. Now, this is not the famous songwriter or singer. It's the same name, but it's a different guy. It's Hoagy Carmichael. Then there was Shecky Neon Beef. He was a gardener for Kip and Kat Mousley. They got him a bit part in this major motion picture. And finally, there's Mickey Rooney. He's playing the part of some swamp gas. So here's the soundtrack of the major motion picture from 1935. It's called Baby Be Good. Thank you.
Now be a good boy and go to sleep.
Thank you. Thank you.
as well as I that there are times when life's ordinary vexations become extraordinarily oppressive. At such times, how do you cope? Narcotics? Violence? Well, sure, but there are times when even these methods fail to deliver. That's when I head out to my Poutin shanty. Isn't it time you got yourself a Sears-built mail-order Poutin shanty of your very own? Why, here's a place where a man can put aside all earthly ills and irritants, breathe deep the musty calm, and get plushed to the scuppers. Sounds good, doesn't it? Of course it does. Within 6 to 8 days of our receiving your order, a railroad handcar will pump its way to your nearest crossing and deliver your own easy-to-erect Poutin shanty. It's all included. Brass spittoon, picturesquely dented and slick with char, pre-filled ashtrays, a poignantly superfluous workbench, capacious shelves perfect for standard-sized liquor bottles, an authentic Batista Silex cigar humidor, vintage ratty easy chair with bonus pocket change and surprise candy down in the cushion, a codger-soldered AM-FM tube radio, and lest you grow too complacent, one bare overhead bulb frazzing and zizzing its nerve-wracking accompaniment to your morbid brooding, but in a fun way. While your Sears Poutin shanty comes with no plumbing, old codger listeners who can prove it, and don't ask me how, will receive at no extra charge a rustic outhouse with all the trimmings. Crescent moon window vent, a wide berth sure shot business aperture, and your choice of corn cobs or nostalgic wish book. Picture yourself a world away from the womenfolk, puffing a redolent Rancho Malario, nursing your bourbon along with your petty grievances, and stroking your cat. Oh, did I neglect to mention? Your Poutin shanty comes complete with a genuine Sears cat, preassembled with more or less all necessary inoculations, give or take. And whether you choose the rugged Quonsetta model, the antebellum-invoking Tara Rabundier, or the timeless splendor of the Tut-Hut model, your Sears Poutin shanty is a steal at $957 assembled. The Sears Poutin shanty. When you can't step up to the good life, let us at least help you step out to sweet misanthropic solitude.
Thank you.
That was the last recording of the program. It was George Gershwin. And Maybe. It was called Maybe. George Gershwin composed it, and he was playing piano. We heard the commercials with the Sears Patton shanty. Big Spider Beck and his gang gave us goose pimples. And the great Jewish actress, Betty Boop, with the soundtrack of the major motion picture, Baby Be Good. Now, this is WFMU. There's supposedly some hellraiser going on this month or something to try to raise money to support the station. Look, let me just tell you something. You send a check to me. Make it out to Courtney T. Edison and just mail it to me. Okay, just put Courtney T. Edison, East Orange, New Jersey. The postman knows me. It'll get to me, okay? And I'll take care of your money. Don't worry, I'll put it to very good use. I'm going to go home right now to my bunker in East Orange. I might go home and retire to my scowling parlor for a smoke and a nightcap. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org.
Thank you. side.